and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of God.
I cannot begin to express to you how much we enjoy being here this morning. Words are inadequate. We love this church. We love each one of you, and we miss you greatly. And oftentimes, I must confess, when we're sitting in worship up there at Tweed Heads, my thoughts drift and wonder what's happening at Livingstone. So it's a great joy. Thank you, Christina, for that lovely worship time. That was really, really very special. The church that we attend is a very casual church, a very laid-back church, and sometimes we think a little bit irreverent church. So it was just nice to come and enjoy a time of worship. And thank you to John and Martin and Josh. Can't believe how Josh has grown. But so good to hear about your experience in Vietnam. And it's a special joy to welcome Calvin and Joyce. Calvin and Joyce were part of our ministry team at Swanson Street. And I actually married them. How many years ago? Over 30 years ago. And they've been missionaries with OMF for 25 years. And they are just here for a brief time on home assignment at the moment. Do pray for them in their ministry. Calvin has the responsibility of overseeing what is happening in places like Japan, North Korea, South Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong. So it's a very big responsibility, and pray that the Lord will give him much wisdom. And Fiona and Aaron are part of the home ministry team for Calvin and Joyce, so it's lovely to see you here as well. We still put out a web page. If anybody would like a copy of the most recent one, please ask us. We'll pass one on to you. And if you would like to receive it so that you can just remember us and pray for us in our ministry, we would be very grateful of that. You will read in that webpage that one of the things that is happening this year is that we've been asked to help a little church in a place called Mwulumba. It's only a little small country town, and it's a very small church and a very aging church, and they don't have a pastor, and so we've been asked to help out there. And I've shared with Val a few times, it would be lovely if a group of young people from Living Stone could come up from time to time and just, yeah, I think the youngest person is me. The second youngest is Val. It is an old church, but it has potential. The town has potential. And I keep thinking, what would happen to this little church if a group of young, enthusiastic people came and sang and put on some dramas or skits or something? It would be great. So that's something I just throw out there for you to think about. Let's pray as we ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is available to us today. We thank you for the challenge that Martin has already brought to us about the importance of spending time in your word day by day. And we pray that as we share together this morning, pray that our hearts will be receptive and responsive, and that, Lord, we might hear what you would want to say to us. So, Lord, speak to us, we pray, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. In June of last year, it was my privilege to preach at a reunion of over 100 former overseas students who had previously studied in Australia and who had attended the Swanston Street Church of Christ in Melbourne. This reunion was held in a town called Seremban in Peninsular Malaysia. And the theme which was chosen for this reunion was the theme, Remember, Rejoice, Renew. This theme was taken from the psalm that Christopher just read, Psalm 145, particularly verses 4 to 7. Let me just refresh your minds. In fact, you may keep your Bible open at Psalm 145 because we will be referring to several passages. But in this particular passage, it says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. It's a great passage. It's a great psalm. In fact, it's one of the greatest psalms in the whole book of Psalms. Just a couple of pieces of trivia about this particular psalm. It is actually the last of the psalms in the book of Psalms, which is specifically attributed to David. Interestingly, it's the only psalm that is specifically entitled a Psalm of Praise of David. Of course, we know that there are many psalms which are psalms of praise, but this is the only one that is specifically entitled as such. And interestingly also, this psalm is actually written in the form of an acrostic. Doesn't make sense in our English Bible, but if you had a Hebrew Bible, and if you could read Hebrew, you would notice that every verse begins with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So verse 1, I don't know what the equivalent in Hebrew is, but it would be A. Verse 2, B. Verse 3, C, D, and so on. Just an interesting way in which the psalm was written. The psalm is a psalm of praise. And if you find difficulty sometimes in your quiet time knowing how to pray, let me suggest that you just praise God. And if you don't know how to praise, then let this psalm be a guide. For example, in verse 3, David praises God for his greatness. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. And then in verse 7, he praises God for his goodness. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. And in verse 9, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. In verse 8, David praises God for his graciousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. In verses 10, 11 and 12, he praises God for his glory. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. In verse 13, he praises God for his faithfulness. One of the great verses. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. In verse 17, he praises God for his righteous ways. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. In verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Verse 20, the watchful care, the Lord watches over all who love him. So it's just full of praise, isn't it? Over and over again, the whole psalm is just praising God because of who he is. Many reasons why we should praise the Lord. But you will notice in this psalm, David not only tells us why, he also tells us when we should do so. He says in verses 1 and 2 that we should praise God from day to day. He says in verses 3 to 7, we should praise God from one generation to another. In verses 8 to 13, he says we should praise God from one nation to another. And in verses 13 to 21, we should praise him from one met need to another. When to praise God? Obviously, from day to day. Notice how the psalm begins. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. You know, in heaven, we're going to be praising God forever and ever. hard to imagine, isn't it? Forever and ever, praising God. Well, perhaps we should prepare for it here on earth and begin praising Him right now, from day to day. Then we should praise Him from one generation to another. Verse 4, one generation will commend your works to another. This was the OCF reunion theme. Remember, remember, rejoice, renew. I'm going to slightly change that theme later in the message, but for now, remember, rejoice, renew. Here, David is saying that every generation should so remember, rejoice, and renew their commitment to the next generation so that the next generation can continue to do so as well. I think I've shared with you before here on a number of occasions, there are two verses which have moulded my life, which have shaped my life. We've been in ministry for 55 years. And these two verses have really been the theme of our ministry. The first is 2 Timothy 2:2. When Paul said to Timothy, "Timothy, the things you have learned from me in the presence of many generations, I want you to commit to reliable people so that they will be able to teach others also." It was Paul to Timothy, to reliable people, to others also. And I thank God that in my life there was a man by the name of Ray Ewers who invested his life in me. He was my Paul. I was his Timothy. And I thank God that over the years God has given me some reliable men in whom I can invest my life. Men like Calvin here and Patrick, our general director, and others who are serving him in different parts of Asia and who are now discipling others. That's the way the ministry will grow. That's the way a ministry will function. From one generation to the next. The second verse that has shaped my life is Psalm 71:18. And I've referred to this verse many times. And that verse says, "Even when I am old and grey." Do you know my wife turns 80 this year? That's terrible, isn't it? "Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, until I declare your power to the next generation and your might to all who are to come." The next generation. One generation to the other. It's a lovely verse in Psalm 78 that says this, verses 5 and 6. "God commanded our forefathers to teach their children so that the next generation would know him, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." Very important. For those of you who are older in years, 20 plus, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to the next generation to pass on what God has been teaching you. So, from day to day, we are to praise God, from generation to generation. And then you will notice that thirdly, David says in this psalm we should praise God from one nation to another. We are not meant to keep the good news to ourselves. We are to pass it on. Thank God for Martin and Josh and John and the team that went to Vietnam. One nation to another, sharing the good news, introducing others to Jesus. I wonder if you notice as we read through that psalm this morning, the repetition of that little word, all. Did you pick that up as we read through it? Verse 9, I won't read out all these verses, but verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18, verse 20. Wow. 15 times in 11 verses, the little word all is mentioned. Don't you agree that God is wanting to capture our attention? All. Rather reminds me of the Great Commission in Matthew. Remember what Jesus said? He said, all power and authority has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Four times, Jesus emphasizes that little word, all. We are to praise God from day to day. We are to praise God from one generation to the next. We are to praise God from one nation to another. But I want to take you now to a second passage which is similar and yet very different. You may like to turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And the theme here is not so much remember, rejoice, renew, but the theme here is a lot more solemn. It's remember. But the next two words are different. Remember, repent, return. Remember, repent, return. Revelation chapter 2, we have a letter that was addressed by the Lord Jesus himself to one of the churches in that first century, the church at Ephesus. It's interesting that in this letter there is commendation, there is complaint, and there is challenge. Three things: commendation, complaint, challenge. First of all, there is commendation. Look at verses 2 and 3. Jesus said, I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name. You have not grown weary. Wonderful, isn't it? Very commendable. Here was a church that was doctrinally sound, a church that was theologically correct, a church that morally was above reproach, a church that was conservative, fundamental, evangelical, a church characterized by good deeds and hard work, a church which had remained true and faithful to the Scriptures, a church that had refused compromise of any kind. And that's not just a biased comment. Remember who's making this comment. Remember who's the author of this letter. It's Jesus himself. Jesus is saying, I know this. I know all of this. a great word of commendation. And so I guess it comes as a bit of a shock, having read verses 2 and 3, to come to verse 4, when he says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." This church had not ceased to love, but rather the quality of that love had lost something of its fervour, something of its depth, something of its meaning, something of its character. You see, first love is honeymoon love. It's the love of a newly married couple. A love that is pure and simple and unselfish. The church at Ephesus had drifted from the fire and the flush of that first love experience. And perhaps you may say, well, so what? Does this really matter? In the light of all the good things that the church was doing, did it really matter? Of course it matters. You ask any divorced person, you ask any separated person, does it matter? Of course it matters. What's the point of a beautiful home? What's the point of a healthy bank balance? What's the point of physical comforts or of material security if there has been a weakening or a slackening of a first love experience? All of the other things are but ashes compared to the fire of the love itself. And so the church at Ephesus had drifted. There was still plenty of work going on. There was still plenty of meetings taking place. There was still plenty of committees. Still plenty of activities, but something was missing. The fire, the intensity of that love for the Lord was missing. The work of the Lord had become more important than the Lord of the work. The it had become more important than the him. You see, what Jesus desires more than anything else is not our works, not our activity, it's our love. It's our love. That's why he said to Peter on that Easter encounter, he said, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" That's the question that he would be asking me today. That's the question that he would be asking you today. Do you love him? Do you love him as much as you did when you committed your life to him? Do you love him today as much as you loved him yesterday? Do you love him more than you love anything or anyone in all the world? And so he uses a challenge to this church. A challenge that is summarized in those three words, very important words. He says, remember, repent, return. Remember, he said, remember, verse 5, remember the height from which you have fallen. To remember, to look back, is a very sensible thing to do. Of course, we remember how Lot once looked back when she shouldn't have, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. To look back to the easy comforts of the world once we've committed ourselves to the Lord can be fatal as well. But it's helpful to look back to the heights that we once attained, to look back to the life that we once experienced, to look back to the fire of our first love experience. So Jesus says to this church, remember, and then he goes on to say, repent, repent. That is, do an about turn, turn in a new direction, turn back. Recommit your life, repent and do the things that you did at first. Remember, repent, return. That is the message that I believe Jesus would address to the church today. Remember, repent, return. Yes? Remember, rejoice, renew. Great reunion theme, but a more solemn theme. Remember, repent, return. And my challenge to you today is that you might return to that first love experience, that you might fall in love all over again. Fall in love with Jesus. Renew your commitment to Jesus. Resolve in your heart, whatever time you have left, you're going to serve Jesus. I've been visiting a man almost every day who is dying, and we're just waiting for news. But it's so lovely to spend time with this man. I shared communion with him the night before we came away, knowing probably that I will never see him in this life again. And we've just been sharing together his pilgrimage, his life, as he has been remembering, rejoicing, and renewing his commitment. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this wonderful psalm. We thank you that it is a psalm of praise, that it is a psalm that helps us to know how to praise you. Lord, it reminds us of some of your great attributes, your greatness, your power, your grace, your faithfulness, your compassion. Lord, you are all of these things, and we just rejoice that we can remember them and that we can renew our commitment to you today. We thank you also, Lord, for this letter that Jesus addressed to the church at Ephesus. And we wonder what sort of letter he would write to the church at Living Stone. Lord, we wonder what sort of letter he would write to us personally. And we can only but take hold of those words, remember, repent, return. And Lord, if it is that some of us have drifted, if it is that some of us have lost the fire of our first love, Lord, help us today to resolve, to renew our commitment to love you and to serve you with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. Lord, we offer our lives to you this morning and pray that you will take us and use us to your glory and praise and honour. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.